We are looking at the little forces that spoil the vine. The little forces that spoil the vine. We're taking our text from the book of Songs of Solomon. Songs of Solomon. In chapter 2, Songs of Solomon, chapter 2. We are reading there in verse 15. Verse 15. It says, take up the forces, the little forces that spoil the vine, for our vine have tender grapes. That is the words of the Shunammite woman. If you read the book of Songs of Solomon, a fool with great wisdom. Look at it, they were preparing for a great marriage feast. And they were to use these grapes, the fruits of the grapes and the vine, for that marriage feast. But somewhere along the line, there were some forces, some little forces, that are capable of spoiling those vines. And if those forces are allowed to spoil the vine, they will not be able to get the respected harvest. And that might bring a lot of disappointment to the feast they have in view. Here we are before the Lord. Here we are, the Lord has gathered us together. And he said, we should come and call upon his name. We should come and seek him for whatsoever we need from him. Anything, any problem that we are passing through, any solution that we want to our problem, the height we want to go in our Christian faith, we want to break new ground, we want elevation in our spiritual pursuit, and we are before the Lord, and the Lord recognize he's ready to do it. He's ready to meet us at the points of our needs. The Lord is ready to give us all those our heart desire. But he's telling us that we should take off, take away, take those things away, take us the forces, those little animals, they appear beautiful, they appear silent, and the way they operate, when you sit there in your face, you say, this one is a beautiful one, but it comes to destroy the very fruits that we are laboring for. And we cannot allow such little forces to have this way in anything that pertains unto us. We just have to stand as believer in Christ to ensure that we catch the little forces and we throw them away out of our life, so that we will be able to have a bumper harvest with the fruits of our vine. We have enough grace to show for all the labor that we have expended upon our farm. We take it to the Christian life. We are here as believers. We are here to seek the face of the Lord. The Lord wants to promote each and every one of us. He wants to take us somewhere. He wants to give us that breakthrough that we are respecting. He wants to heal the sick. And he wants to do so many things in our lives. And the Lord is saying, like the van we are, at times we might be weak in certain areas of our life. And because of that weakness, and the little forces, the little sin come into our life, as it comes into our life, it will destroy those tender crops that the Lord Almighty is planting, developing in our lives. It's the little forces who want to take those things, want to suck them at their tender level. You know, when you are growing as a Christian, we are always a project in the hands of God. God is working on us every day. God is lifting us from one level to the other. We must allow him the time, allow him the opportunity to be able to walk through and through in our life, that those things that the Lord wants to establish upon our life, we'll be able to stand. But when there are contending forces, when there are other forces contrary to the will of God in our life, it makes the assignment of God in our life to become difficult, if not becoming impossible. Because the eyes of the Lord himself is too holy to behold iniquity. The Lord cannot walk with us if we regard any kind of sin in our heart, no matter how small the sin might be. It is not that big sin that normally deal with Christians. You are coming to the fold. You have become a child of God. But sometimes we allow the small sin. We call the small sin. We allow them in our life. And we have followed the worldly dictum. We normally say, it doesn't matter. It's a small thing. That it doesn't matter, sick John. It has killed so many Christians. It has aborted so many potential Christians who are supposed to be great for the Lord. The Lord has prepared them, but because they are allowed, those things that cause small sin in their life, it suck away the tender grace. It's grace that was advancing into maturity. It was advancing into perfection. We did not give it the opportunity. We allow the small sin, the insignificant sin, to creep into our life unnoticed. As we do that, those grapes, those things that are supposed to get to maturity, because they were attacked at a tender stage, they become destroyed. If you have been to the rice some before, you know where rice is just newly producing, and there is a kind of bird, if they invade your farm, they will just get there, suck everything away. When you get to the farm again, all the labor, those birds that came, they invaded the farm, they suck the grains that were maturing, but they are not fully grown. They were still liquid inside them. They are not solidified. They soak them away. And at the end of the day, when you go to harvest such crops, that kind of rice, majority of them, you will blow them away. They are not good anymore for human consumption. And it's the same way with our spiritual life. We must guide generously against anything that we want to hinder our growing into perfection. At the time Satan will want to attack us with this little sin, it is when we see that we are making progress in our Christian life, that we are developing, and he sees that it's a shining star. If I allow him to go to perfection, he will become a terror to my kingdom. Then he sent those little things into our lives. And before we know it, the man that was rising before, to look at his life, become a question of rising and falling. It is not stable. And God does not want such a thing from us. We must be able to stand as Christians, so that we'll be able to fulfill all that the Lord has planned for our life and for us to fulfill in our destiny. So as we look at those little forces in our life tonight, I plead with you that you pay attention to these things so that the Lord himself will help us. We'll be able to identify them. As we identify them, we will chase them out of our life in Jesus' name. Yeah. Look at Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, the Bible tells us, it says, mortify, kill, destroy, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. It starts there with the fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which thing's sake, the wrath of God cometh upon the children of disobedience, in the which ye also were sometime when ye live in them. But now, ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. There are lots of things that we do not take notice of as Christians. Our life as Christians is a sensitive world. We are born again. And the expectation of God for us all is for us to be like Christ. If you look at your life today and compare your life, your holiness, your perfection, and compare it with that of Christ, how will you rate yourself? If you look at your life today, you compare your love and compare it with that of Christ, how will you rate yourself? Will you say you are a loving person? So, the Bible said to you, we're all called. We must work out our salvation with fear and trembling. Going to heaven is sweet. It's a good thing, but it attracts a lot of responsibility. The Lord said, be ye holy, for I am holy. All these things that the Bible mentions here, that we should mortify. We should mortify. To mortify something is to kill. You know, mortuary is dead people, they keep in mortuary. It's from the same word, mortify. Mortuary, they are all the same family. So, you mortify all these things. You see, am I not talking to Christians? Why are you still telling us to mortify your members who are in the earth and make some fornication? You see, we have passed that stage. We have passed that stage. Yes, that is correct. But if you look at the warnings of the Lord Jesus Christ, let's look at it in Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, in verse 27. Matthew chapter 5, verse 27. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you, that whosoever, a man or a woman, a boy or a girl, a preacher or ordinary member of the church, whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her, had committed adultery with her already in his heart. This is the word of God, the word of our Savior Jesus Christ. You see, the God is telling us that we have a greater responsibility. We have to show a greater commitment unto the life of holiness and righteousness, for us to be able to meet, to enter into the kingdom of God. The Lord Jesus Christ is saying, if we look at the woman lustfully, there is the one we commit evil fornication and adultery with our heart. And people say, the guy came to me, a woman came, we only chatted, and I touched certain parts of her body, but I never did the writing. My friend, you have committed adultery already. You have committed fornication already. That is the word of God. When your heart is moved out of righteousness, and you continue to think dirty things, out of your heart. You have already did the deed. There is nothing that you will use to excuse yourself anymore. The Lord says, you look at a woman lustfully in your heart. The Lord is telling us, you know, in the village, in the city, at times, our heart is yearning towards an opposite sex. That is a dangerous thing for us. And then you say you want to go and follow up somebody. Hey, it's a new cousin. I want to go and visit her or him. And you take choose. You choose around 8 p.m. in the night. And you are going to a single woman place to go and do a follow-up. You want to do visitation. That kind of person you are cutting trouble for yourself. And somebody say, hey, I know myself. I'm a strong man. I cannot fall. Go and ask Samson. Was he not the strongest man that ever lived? But he fall. When it comes to the issue of woman, so we must be careful. The Bible tells us that we must abstain from all appearance of evil. Such a scenario is an appearance of evil that we must make up our mind and determine to abstain from it. We should not use our hands to cause trouble unto ourselves. The Lord is saying we should look away from such things. We should take our standard Christian. We are going to heaven. We are going to a holy place. Our heart must be fully yielded unto the Lord. So the Lord is calling us into the life of perfection. That we should not allow those small things, those small mistakes we made, to make us to fall. We must be a principled person. As a Christian, there is things that you can do and the things that you cannot do. There is time for everything, and this must be done at the right time. That is the only time that you will attract the blessings and the glory of your Almighty God. So we should yield ourselves unto the directions of God. Let the Spirit of God lead you. And if maybe somebody like that, you know, opposite said, if you must go there, you go there in company of another person. And when you get there, you are inside the house and the girl eventually might tell you, in our house, I live in a passage house, so we must always lock this door. We don't keep our door open. And the girl decides to close the door against you and her inside the room. Even though you do not even do anything with her, the container in the house will say, there's a pastor that come here now. Everybody knows that, and whether you do it or not. So we must always keep safe. Must not allow those little things. We might not even retain it. For people will read another thing to our action. So we must be careful. And 2 Peter equally warned us. 2 Peter in chapter 2, verse 14. 2 Peter is a having eyes full of adultery and that cannot cease from sin regarding unstable sorrow and hearts. They that testify with conventional practices cause children. So, when you live a life, a kind of free life, a carefree life like that, you are subjecting yourself to a kind of stunted spiritual growth. You cannot grow. And anytime you go, your heart has lost it, you need not before God to pray. The first thing you pray about God is say, Lord, please. I don't know it's going to result to that. Forgive me, forgive me, forgive me. Wait. We will continue to be praying for forgiveness of sin. the constantly laid the foundation of your Christian faith. You build it up a little, you go out, your action, your activity, you destroy it again. With what you have done outside, and you come back to God again saying, I will not do it again. I'm going to lay it solid this time around. You will be a perpetual starter. Such a person will never get to perfection. So you must keep away from such things and not allow your heart to be carried away by any spirits of immorality. And this time that we have this social media thing, we have the Facebook, we have the WhatsApp, we have all kind of things, have provided deep opportunity for people to start committing immorality even when they did not know it. Who are your friends in your Facebook? Who are the people that you are relating with? All those messages they will send to you, maybe already prepared message, they send it to you, you react to it. At least you say you do not want to offend them. They send it to you, I love you, I love you. You return it back to them again, I love you, I love you. You are not, you don't want to offend them, but you want to offend God. And you are not afraid to offend God. If you check your Christianity, whether you are actually in the faith. So the Lord is talking to us. We must examine all the social networks. God gave it to us for easy communication. But Satan is using it the other way around. How many people have lost their Christianity because of Facebook? Some of you who stay from morning to evening, no more time for prayer. If Facebook is here, you will read the scripture that is sent to you. You read also. Every minute you're always there. You don't pray. You don't seek the face of the Lord. And today, we say, such thing, it doesn't matter. It's socialized civilization. What kind of civilization? Civilization that wants to destroy you and ruin your Christian life? Satan himself is working 24/7 every day. He's bringing a new strategy in order to weaken the life of the Christians. All these things you are seeing. You say, they just come, you just buy the data, you put inside your disk. Everything is cheap, it's cheap. You are cheaping your Christianity, and you are cheaping your Christian life. But the enemy to just run around you. You will be better than this before the invention of all this social network. Your prayer life will be better. And that's how you can pray, not to disturb you much. But today, can you stay 30 minutes in prayer without any interruption? Is it possible? Is that the highly disciplined world? Come on, let's continue like that. We continue like that. Trumpet we say we will not hear. I pray that we will not pay our portion in Jesus' name. Amen. So, we as Christians, we must get hold of the writing of the thing that the Lord has given unto us. Those ancient landmarks, those things that we want delivered unto us, we must hold on to them. Look at 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. We read there in verse 6. It says, your glory is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Don't you know it? He said, they were not doing this, a small thing. You accommodate small sin in your life. Will you accommodate small cancer in your life? Will you allow it in your body? I said, the cancer is just small. Don't you know that sin is the cancer of the spirit. That sin, no matter how small, it destroys your spiritual man. And these sins that you say, there are little, a little sin can spread very fast to every other part of the body. If you take a sin, maybe within a church, a local church, and one of the workers engaged in one kind of sin, can just be a little sin. Might be the way you dress as a sister. Maybe you say, other women outside, when they dress, they show their armpits to the world. And every time they ask us to dress here, your armpit must be covered, and the something must get, and you not tell your tailor, make it shorter. And you tear the bottle a little. And you do it, say do it fitting, so that everything about your anatomy will be fully shown. And you come to the church, you minister, maybe you will less praises that day. As you get back, you come to church next Sunday, the rest people will copy your example. Because a little sin is a leading sin, and it leads to destruction. So that is why we must be very careful as leaders that you do not put a stumbling block, a hindrance into the way of another person. And some people in the village, you say, I'm constantly, every time, it's malaria, malaria. And you couldn't look for roots, you went to the bush. Then you not come back. Say, what would you put a gogoro inside? Every morning you are taking one shot. You say, it's a little. After all, they say, take little one for your stomach infirmity. And you are taking a little shot. And you say, it doesn't matter. Because you have taken that little shot and you are going on your way to farm, a man is still sitting at the veranda and he says, come now. And he got there. Let me take one shot again. And you have no resistance again, because your resistance has been destroyed with that little shot you took at home. And you take it along with him, you are destroying your spiritual life. You can grow. How can you grow? How can you go to the level of perfection that God has called every one of us into? All those little things that we think that are not important in the sight of God, that are so important. So, sin is spread very, very fast. It spreads to the people, to innocent people who we are not prepared. Because they steal it from you, it is you has given it to them. God will hold you responsible. For a leader, you must be a leader. And that little thing that we have in our body, that talks about our tongue. Our tongue, it seems little. But today, this tongue, he lied the issue of death and life. If you are to be a Christian, if you are able to contain your tongue, then you are on the pathway of ascending as a Christian. And it has become the most difficult part of our body. Look at all these sins that have been committed today. Majority of them, the lie in our tongue. In the book of James chapter 3. James chapter 3. In verse 5. He said, even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth, and the tongue is a fiery war of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. See, if one is able to control your tongue, we could do a good thing for your life. And we must, like David, constantly pray that God will help us to control our tongue. Most of the words that we have heard in the world today, they are all the outcome of the misuse of tongue. The malice and the quarrel within the families, within the neighborhood, they are all traced back to the bad work of the little member in our body, our tongue. Our tongue must be properly used. God has made the tongue for blessing, for prayer, for praising Him, and not the other way around. We must not use our tongue for lying. Most times, people tell so many, many, many lies. And when they tell lies, their conscience is not even pricked. You know that such people, they are on their way to hell already. Their conscience have become seared. And it's no longer sensitive. Their spiritual antenna has been destroyed. When you live a life like that, when you tell lies, you tell it with every freedom. Nothing comes back to you. You must examine your life. And so custom, white light, green light, those ones are just jargon. As pastor have told us this evening, lie is lie. And so people make reference to the Old Testament. You see, as somebody like David, David went to battle when he was staying with King Achan, the Philistine king, when Saul pursued him out of the land of Israel. As he went to battle, he went to destroy part of the nations of the Philistines. But when King Achan that accommodated him, that gave him the refuge status, asking, where have you gone today to fight a battle? He lied to the king and said, I have gone to destroy my people, the Israelites. And when people read certain stories like that in the Bible, then they will be making reference to it. They say, ah, I know Testament said he tell lies and nothing happened. Who told you something did not happen? We are New Testament saints. We are children of God. We have the grace of God. We have the Holy Spirit. So we are different. Don't make reference to any Old Testament saints and use this as the basis for your daily lives. We are a child of God. When they came for the Lord Jesus Christ to come and arrest him, They could not identify him among the disciples. Listen, what are you looking for? Say, Jesus Christ. Is Jesus the one looking for? He presented himself. He didn't know about it. Why would you be lying? Nothing. There is no excuse in lie that God will accept for any New Testament believer to start lying. You lie about everything. And God is not happy. Every liar, the Bible says, will find their path in the lake of fire. The judgment has already been made. It's not that we will see at that day. God has already given us his verdict. All kinds of liars. whether small or big. Why are you lying? Why are we looking lying? You want to escape punishment or you want to gain undue advantage. That is why you are lying. And if you gain anything, either prosperity, you get money by lying, that money is not going to stand with you. It's not going to be blown away. I'm not going to get the benefit of it. So they are going to use it to weaken you and to make you a candidate for hell. So, let's do away with any kind of lying. When the creditor is coming to your house and your child is in the sitting room to receive a visitor and you have cited the person and you tell your child, hey, that man coming, when he come, tell him that I'm not at home. And you are inside the room and you are teaching your child to become a liar and you yourself is already a liar. And you are recruiting another person to come and join you. That is not good enough. You can always show yourself up. If you come, you don't have the money, you plead. Who knows? The favor of God might come upon you and right away you're dead. You might not even be coming to come and collect them. Maybe it's coming with good news for you. You are running inside the house and you are telling everybody to tell you that you are not at home. My brothers and sisters, let's abstain from such things. It will not make us to have the best from God. And God cannot have confidence in us. We use our tongue to take life. We only use our tongue to gossip. You see, what is gossip? Gossip is when you pass information that you are not a part of the problem and you are not a part of the solution. Somebody comes to tell you the news and it's a gossip. You are not confirming. It does not concern you. You are not a part of the problem. You are not a part of the solution. You cannot help the person. But instead, somebody told you, instead of and like that it will die with you. You continue to spread it. Have you heard? You make yourself a wireless radio of your community. And you think that the people that you are telling those things to, that you are gossiping to, you are only destroying your reputation before them. They know you are a gossiper. Anytime they have something that is special to their heart, when you are coming, they will seize their mouth, they will not say it again. They will say, that gossiper is coming. Why will you bring yourself so low? You are carrying news that did not concern you. The Lord is not happy with such people, and the child of God ought not to live a such life. I pray the Lord will deliver us from such things in Jesus' name. Yeah. So when they come to you with their gossip, the best thing you tell the person, the way you can keep that gossip, don't tell the person, I'm not interested in what you are telling me now. Have you spoken to the person involved in this matter directly? I don't talk to him one-on-one. You send it back to the person instead of him telling you. Because if you accept his gossip, he will equally gossip about you tomorrow. So, when you accept gossip from people and you start transmitting it to other people, it's like you accepting a stolen property into your house. Any person with stolen property, is that person a Christian? It's not. So when you receive stolen from people and you are transmitting, you accept stolen property. Don't gossip any person. You are a child of God. Don't carry information about anyone. Why would you want to destroy another person's reputation? Are you sure what is telling you is true? Why would you carry it? And this is what pertains to even our government, everything. My hear news, the news you hear from somebody that comes from Beer Parlor. I say, the government is doing this one now. Hey, Buhari is this. And he comes to tell you, and you just carry it away like that. A Christian, you can't do such thing. Speak no evil of the people in authority. That is the word of God. Christianity is sweet. But it's a disciplined vocation that we must apply ourselves to if we want the best from God. God wants to do something great in our life. But all these little things that we are blending with the people in the community, we are blending with the people in the world, that we cannot differentiate who is a Christian, who is not a Christian. It's not helping matters at all. It's not just the physical appearance alone. That we are not wearing earrings, we are this, we are that. That won't make you a Christian. It's a inner man. And you must be able to have that heart of Christ, a transformed life. And our life must be pure. The Bible equally condemns evil communication. Evil communication that spoils good manners. That is in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. In verse 3. Evil communication. When you have company with people who are not Christian, maybe on Monday you get to the office and a man is telling you, hey, the weekend was so sweet. I went to so place after drinking. I went with one woman to my house. And you open your ears. Is that so? Why would you listen to such evil thing? Why would you reprove a man? I said, I don't expect this one from you, whether it's your boss or not. Why you continue to listen to all those evil communication? You are defiling your inner man. You are defiling your spiritual man. And there is no way you are able to make headway in your Christian pursuit. Listen to them. Don't stay in the midst when they are saying it. All those ones, they will call what many churches are doing today. And they call you, invite you. We have special program. And they bring in a comedian. And the comedian is making jest of your Lord. He's making jest of the Lord Jesus Christ. Evil right in the altar. And you don't put your ears and you don't put your mouth wide and be laughing. You crucify the Lord. You decrease him. You must not do such thing. You have CD of all those people that are redeeming our God. And you have their CD, you are playing them and listening to them. You are not a proper child of God. How will you judge them, promoting their trade in order to bring down your Lord? The people in the other religion, go and talk about their so-called prophet. And you do it openly. The first person that will hear you say it will be the one to murder you. But if you come to Christianity, everybody, every cockroach, rat, and everything will bow the Christ Savior. And you will listen. You will even buy their cassette and keep in your house. But it's not good enough. If that will not promote your Christian life, avoid all those things, all those bad languages that you are using in the community. You are copying the language of garage boys. You say, hey, chairman, I hello. Which chairman are you hailing? You are calling your fellow human being, you are hailing your fellow human being who is immersed in dirty evil. You are hailing him, have you? So the Lord will not be happy with us all those kind of languages that you are using, I can't pronounce them with my mouth. They are defiling. You know them. Avoid them. Avoid them. You speak like Christian. Speak the word that it is. Don't use the word that are using in the world. Don't use it at all. Lord, we help us. And you give us the grace to serve you faithfully in Jesus' name. So, the Lord is telling us the way to avoid all bad languages. Avoid it. Avoid it. Avoid it. Another forces we have in the scripture that the Bible identified unto us is all in the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 13. The forces that destroy the Christendom today, it started long ago, even in the Old Testament. Ezekiel chapter 13. I read from verse 4. O Israel, the prophets are like the forces in the desert. O Israel, the prophets are like the forces in the desert. What do they do? Ye have not gone up into the gap, neither make up the edges of the house of Israel to stand in the battle in the day of the Lord. They have seen vanity and lying divination, saying, the Lord said, and the Lord has not sent them. And they have made order to hope that they will confound the world. Have you not seen a vague vision? And have you not spoken a lying divination? Whereas he said, the Lord seeth it. Albeit, I have not spoken. When the Lord has not spoken, our minister, our pastors, who must not say anything to the people in the name of the Lord. This is the church program. This is what we want to do now. This is the thing. And we calculated this is what each one will contribute. Don't tell that the Lord said this is what you are going to contribute. It's not the Lord that has said it. It's you. Don't lie against him. This your administrative work within the church. And let not give right divination unto the people. Drinks are good. Drinks must be weighed with the words of God before it pass through as coming from the Lord. You must not specialize in dreaming. And she said, you dream, this is the woman that is troubling you. I dream about her, this or that. Keep your dream. This is the word of God. That is what the Lord is telling us. The false prophets that fool everywhere today. Let us not be carried away with their lying divination. We will tell you so many, many things. A lot of things is going on in the world today. That is why we must be careful. Because the nature of man, he wants to see the signs and wonder. He wants to see proof. He wants to see this one. Hey, that man, they see where. And people start running to go and meet him. He's a prophet. And the one I just read today in the newspaper, a so-called prophet, they fight the other one, two of them, and pregnated a 6-year-old daughter, a minister of God. What did he do it? And the moment he finished doing this one, he uses as a ritual, the church. Grow very well. All those lady women that are lady with sin, they started rushing to the church, You have spirit of bad, I will cast it away to this one until they won't find out the man's secret. Has gone into occultism and rituals. You don't have to attract people into the church. You must not do that. You wait for the time of God. The work is not hard. The work belongs to God. We must not do anything. Must not add to the word of God or suffer from it. Do it as the Lord Almighty has given us the grace. If you want to multiply, we multiply it at his time, not your time. Just stick true. We will ensure that we are living the life, that we are connected with God, and nothing is taking away your attention. God will do wonders. Instead of first looking for false prophets, and start patronizing them, and start going to meet them in the night. What is your secret? You want to learn the secret of the devil? Don't learn it at all. Our God will bless us in Jesus' name. So, this false prophets, we must protect our people against their activity. The pastor don't take anything for granted. Pastor, the member, he's just going, he's just reading the magazine that she was giving. There is nothing too serious about it. There is something very, very serious. It's not a little matter. We must protect them against any material from the false prophets of our world. That I have recruited so many, many pastors into the world today. They only are afraid to write thoughts of Satan. There's no people who run away. But people who are bold enough in America, they write it there. Thoughts of Satan. So, watch over your flocks and know the state of your flocks at every time in point. Don't give room. Don't even beat those people that will come with magazine. I've been telling you the heaven and earth are here with us. That our house, I've been marking it, I'm going to inherit it through eternity. And they come and set magazine to you and you are buying. How will you buy them? You know they are not having the truth of the word of God. Don't buy them. And don't encourage your members to buy such things. The Bible even tells us that we should not even bid the God fair. Don't tell them bye-bye. Don't greet them. Say, well done. Well done for spreading false doctrine. Don't talk to them. That's to the extent the Bible goes. And we should not bid the God speed. Because they were not of God. And the last little thing that affects us today in our life, there's a little laziness is quite the vine of hard work and success in our life. Let's look at it in the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 6, in verse 10. Proverbs 6, verse 10. It says, yet a little sleep, a little slumber, and a little folding of hand to sleep. So shall the poverty come as one that traveleth, and the ones as an armed man. So, this is a warning for us. When we're supposed to be walking, let us be walking. When we're supposed to be evangelizing, let us be evangelizing. All those ones that you will sleep, you will program yourself by 4 o'clock. I will go around the community, I'm going out for evangelism, I want to go around witness. And you lie down. And your body says, sleep a little. A little sleep results into a little slumber. And before you know it, the end result of it is spiritual physical, financial poverty, that we eventually come to the blessing. Let us be open doing everything that we need to do in our secular life, in our farms, in the place where we work. The Lord has called us to the life of hard work. It is hard work that begets success. So, it's only when we avoid this kind of little sleep, or you say, hey, it's not today, I will do it tomorrow. You procrastinate. You continue to do it tomorrow, wake up. You will still push it to the next day. You are not going to get a headway. At the end of the day, you discover that it's, yeah, I just rolled by. And you started the year 2016, maybe with 10 members. At the end of 2016, you are having 9 members. What has happened? It's a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of hands that are matted to your spiritual poverty. When you're supposed to be praying, you will not find time to pray. You cannot pray because of laziness. But people, they have forgotten the last day that they ever stay away from food, that they ever fasted. We come strengthened, even in Christendom. We are not used to it anymore. But because the blessing, God has blessed us so much, there is no more room for fasting. But we are told to do it by 12 o'clock. We have started checking our time. Even before that 12 o'clock, you did not need them to pray. You only went on hungry strike. You never prayed. So, who's are the thing that is bringing us low in the things of God? If we must amount to anything in the hands of God, as the Bible tells us, we must chase away those little forces. Those little forces in our vibe, those little forces will destroy our tender grape. We must cast them and throw them away. You check this in there, and they are no longer in your life. And the Holy Spirit can help us to fight that battle. Before we pray, in Romans chapter 6, Romans chapter 6. In verse 11. Romans 6. Verse 11. It says, likewise, reckon ye also yourself to be dead indeed to sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourself unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your member as instrument of righteousness unto God. That is the only way we can restrain the little forces that spoil our vine. And we must deal with them. If we refuse to deal with them, they will eventually deal with us. You cannot escape it. Either we deal with them, or they deal with us. So the choice is yours tonight. As for me, I must deal with them before we leave here tonight. And all of them must be mortified. They must be destroyed. And the Lord will give us the victory in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's rise up unto the Lord. As we go to God in prayers, you know your life. I know my life. I know the life that I live before now. The life that I live before coming for this convention. But the Lord has given us opportunity to examine our life tonight. Where art thou? Where art thou, my brother, my sister? The Lord is calling you to examine your life. Pray. Identity forces in your life. That you think that they are insignificant. That you think that this do not matter. My brother, that will destroy you if you refuse to destroy them. Pray. And the Lord Almighty will exterminate them away from your life.
Was almost coming, I felt the pulse of his heart. And you could see that God was calling you to another one. Come home. Come to me. Come to me. There's more for you. I just want you tonight to just encounter him with a very sincere open heart. And tell the devil to get out of your life. Tell him to go out of your life, out of your room, out of your ministry, out of your money, out of your career. Tell those forces to make out of you now by the power that is in the blood of Jesus. You just lift your voice and talk to God. I want you to pray. Yes. in Jesus' name. Say this after me. My Father in heaven, thank you for such a wonderful message.
Thank you for such a wonderful message.
I give you away from the depth of my heart.
I give you away from the depth of my heart.
Every sin.
Every weight.
Every forces. That destroy my grace.
That destroy my Christianity.
Today. Tonight.
I command all to die out of me.
I submit my spirit.
My soul.
My body.
To obedience.
Obedience of your word.
Obedience of the Holy Spirit.
In the name of the Father.
In the name of the Son.
In the name of the Holy Ghost.
Thank you for cleaning me.
And sanctifying me.
The Lord of Jesus.
Thank you, Father.
I know you love me.
I know I'm choosing.
I'm a vessel in your hand.
I'm made for good works.
In your hand.
Satan.
Out of my life. Out of my way.
Out of my health.
Out of my family.
From now.
Forever.
I'm for Jesus.
I'm Jesus forever.
Amen.